You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada and indeed the world's top leaders to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing organizational issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us, like Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Joanne Liu, International President of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice of the kind of thoughtful leaders leading some of today's most successful organizations. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Penny Wise, President of 3M Canada. Thank you for joining us today, Penny.
Thanks for the invitation.
Can you tell us about your early years? Where did you grow up and what did your family do for a living?
My parents and I came to Canada in 1969 when I was 18 months old. My dad was an electrical engineer in the UK and was recruited by Ontario Hydro to come and work in their nuclear program. My dad ended up working at Douglas Point, and I did a lot of growing up in Port Elgin, a small town on Lake Huron, and it was a great place to grow up. In addition to the families that had many generations and history in the area, there were many families like mine, new to town, educated professionals, everyone invested in success. And I think this was really reflected in our school system, where we had great teachers who pushed us and a great environment to be raised in. And I think my parents set a great example for me on what it means to step up. My dad never learned how to skate, but he was the president of the Port Elgin Minor Hockey League for a year. My mom had never been camping or never worn a pair of jeans, but she tried out both when she stepped up to be a girl guide leader in town because there were so many girls who wanted to join and not enough leaders. There was never a question for me about whether I would go to university. It was, which university would I go to? And then, you know, in my last year of high school, my father was transferred to the Darlington nuclear facility outside of Oshawa, and my parents insisted that I try the move. And it was an incredible shock to me to be uprooted and end up in a very different kind of community like Oshawa. For my last year of high school, I had to start over, had to make new friends, and had to find my way. And it was probably the hardest year of my entire school career. But in the long run, it made me a better person and prepared me to be open to new adventures.
So you were in small town Ontario, but then moved to relatively the big city. So a tough time. So do your parents, do they still have a British accent? Did they ever lose their British accent?
My parents never lost their British accents. No, they did not.
You never got it though.
I was not speaking until I came to Canada. I carry my Canadian accent very proudly. And even for the 10 years that I lived in the United States, it was very often pointed out to me that I still had a very strong Canadian accent.
How did they know you were Canadian? Just the accent in general?
Apparently, about gives me away. I can't hear it, but about gives me away all the time.
What did you want to do growing up? Do you remember any of your dreams back then, Penny?
I thought for sure I was going to be a lawyer when I grew up. And I took those thoughts to university with me. In fact, I started out my university career working on a history degree with the intent of going to law school. But in my first year of university, I took a calculus course to round out my schedule. I had never taken calculus before, and I hadn't really enjoyed math in elementary or high school, but it happened to fit into my schedule and I was up for the challenge. And while I happened to have this amazing, fantastic professor who not only sparked my interest in math, but helped me realize that I didn't really want to study law and that I could take a math degree and then a business degree. And as I like to say, the rest is history.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Penny Wise, President of 3M Canada. What did you get from math that still keeps with you today?
The thing I get from math is that objectivity. One of the things I really enjoyed when I switched from a history degree to a math degree, I love history. I'm a ravenous eater, consumer of history reading, really enjoy it. But one of the things I really enjoyed about going to math was you could get to the right answer. It wasn't subjective. I really loved the objectivity. And for me, I think the math helped me have a better balance of my right brain and left brain in terms of the creativity and the logic. And I think it's really helped me throughout my marketing and business career to have both sides of the brain really focused and thinking in different ways. So math was just a really good way of logic and thinking through things. And so some of those concepts of logic, thinking through things, working through problems, I still carry forward. I don't think I could do any derivatives anymore, but the process is still there.
You're clearly a leader today, Penny. When did you first think in your own mind, maybe I'm a leader? Was it back in high school or university? When did you say, maybe I can lead? And I did a bit.
This was a really interesting question to get my head around. But as I was thinking about it, I guess I've always aspired to be a leader, even if I didn't know exactly what it was or what it meant. So my mom told me a story. I was probably 4 or 5 years old, and I came home for lunch after playing with my best friend in the backyard for a couple of hours in the morning. And my mom could tell that I was upset. And so my mom asked me what was wrong. And I told her that my best friend had told me that when she grew up, she wanted to be a secretary. And my mom's like, well, that's a really great job to have. And I said, Mom, I don't want to be a secretary. I want to have my own secretary. So I might not have known what leadership was yet, but apparently I wanted it. Today, like, I just love the feeling of seeing an initiative from start to finish. I love working with people and teams and creating something that's impactful. I still continue to find fulfillment after all these years.
What was your first job out of university?
So my first job out of university was working for a small entrepreneurial family-owned company. And it was not for me, and it was very short-lived. I have an incredible amount of respect for those who own their businesses because they are the backbone of our country and our economy. But for me, there was something really inspiring about the structured environment that the corporate world could bring and the opportunity for global engagement and the impact that I could make. So I consider my first real job out of university, I was working in marketing at Delta Faucet, which is part of Masco Corporation. And there I was given tremendous opportunities to demonstrate and build my marketing chops. I created connections in the US and Canada and figured out how to work across borders. I built successful programs for customers. I learned how to get things done. I learned how to say no. I learned a lot about leadership and took away things from my leaders, you know, what I would emulate and what I would never do as a leader. So it was a really wonderful, formulative, educational experience for me.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and we're hearing from Penny Wise, president of 3M Canada. How did you end up, or when did you end up at 3M?
I came to 3M in 2000, so about, I guess, a little over 20 years ago. I was looking for a new challenge and a new opportunity. My son was between just about to start grade one. I was being asked to move to Toronto from London, and I wasn't quite ready to move to Toronto yet. I wanted to stay here and let my kids get a little bit older. So I decided that I was going to leave Masco after a really great career with them and spend a little bit of time with my kids before my son started grade one full time. And 2 weeks before I submitted my resignation at Delta, there was a posting in the local newspaper. So that's how long ago it was. It was in a newspaper for a marketing manager at 3M Canada here in London. And 2 weeks later, I wasn't taking the summer off to be with my kids. I was working at 3M, and I have just thoroughly enjoyed it. 3M has been a tremendous company and given me so many wonderful opportunities over the years.
So where did you go work in the U.S.?
I worked for 3M in the U.S., and 3M's head office is in St. Paul, Minnesota, so part of the Twin Cities of St. Paul and Minneapolis. And I went there to work as an international marketing manager. I worked there for about 10 years. As an international marketing manager, I had the opportunity to travel the world for 3M and meet with 3Mers around the world. And what I discovered then was that there is something inside every 3Mer around the world. There is a spark inside each one of us, whether it's problems, it's about solving problems, it's about making the world a better place, it's about doing right, it's about doing the best things. And so no matter where I went in the world, it always felt like going home. And that really helped inform my next role. I was the brand leader for 3M globally and helped launch their our current platform, which is 3M Science Applied to Life. And then I also worked in one of the business groups in safety and industrial, the largest business group in the organization. And so I've had a really wonderful, fulfilling career, helping build marketing, helping build brand, leading teams, leading organizations, and building a global presence.
How did they get you back to Canada? What drew you back home at that point?
At the beginning of 2020, I was asked to come home and be the managing director and president of 3M Canada, which is something I had really aspired to do on my very first day of working at 3M in Canada 20 plus years ago. It's not there any longer, but there used to be a wall as you would walk into the building of that had photos or portraits of all of the 3M Canada presidents. And I remember walking by the wall and saying, hey, that would be really cool to be on the wall someday. The wall is gone, But now I'm president of 3M Canada. So I started working here at 3M Canada just before the outset of the pandemic. And I have been the pandemic MD, as we like to say.
How centralized is 3M? How much latitude does Canada get to be different than the US and France and so on? And how much comes from Minneapolis and how much comes from London?
Our organization at 3M, one of the powerful things about 3M is we are a global organization and we set strategy at a global level as we create products. But I consider it a bit of a virtuous cycle. So I consider our job in Canada to know Canadian customers and know the Canadian marketplace better than anybody. That is the insight that we bring. And our job is to bring that learning and that need and what we need to do in order to be successful up to the area level, up to the global level, so that they can build out what that global strategy looks like. So it is, I call it a symbiotic relationship in order to be able to build those pieces forward. But at the end of the day, we are charged with making sure we are delivering on what Canadian customers need and making sure we're delivering in the right way. One, a great example is N95 respirators. So as we've moved through the pandemic, I'm very proud to have been leading the team here in Canada as we brought N95 manufacturing and expansion to our Brockville facility. And I think it's a reflection of how that symbiotic relationship works. Where do we need to have facilities? How do we build facilities in the right spots around the world? How do we make sure countries and areas have access to the products that they need? In this case, it was PPE.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Penny Wise, President of 3M Canada. When we come back, we'll discuss the impact of the pandemic on 3M. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Penny Wise, President of 3M Canada. What was the impact of the pandemic on 3M? You've already just touched on it, but was it up, down, sideways? What was the impact from a business viewpoint?
From a business point of view, the pandemic, just like every business, there were ups and downs and sideways and back and forth. Obviously, we had businesses like PPE or cleaning supplies, or even things like duct tape, masking tape that were high in demand as we moved through the pandemic. And then there were other businesses that were more adversely impacted by the pandemic. So on the whole, as you see 3M's global results, we've continued to do very well through the pandemic and continue to move forward and continue to innovate and build our business.
Was there a moment that there was a moment when did you have to shut down 3M Canada because of the pandemic? Or was there ongoing activities?
So 3M Canada continued functioning, continued working throughout the entire pandemic. And I think about the 3M Canada organization in a couple of different ways. There are our manufacturing facilities. So we have 8 facilities across the country, and all of those people continued to work and continued to go into work every day as the products we were making here were in demand. So either products were used directly in the fight against the pandemic or used by other manufacturers to create products to support the fight against the pandemic. And we worked very hard to make sure that all of those individuals who were in our manufacturing organization were safe. Proper social distancing, making sure cleaning was happening even more than before, obviously being able to wash your hands, sanitizing, and then reworking processes to make sure people could be safe or providing PPE where we had to work closely together. So we worked really hard to make sure our manufacturing sites were safe, and the sites did tremendously well all through the pandemic. Then we had a group of people, our lab and our scientists here in Canada, who they could do a lot of work from home, but still needed to come into the lab to run experiments and, you know, do some bench work. So we figured out how to keep them safe, how they would be in the office, when they would be in the lab, when they would work from home. And then the third group is our business and marketing and sales organizations. And those were people that who could work from home. And so we made sure that we set up all of our employees for success. We were early adopters of Microsoft Teams, and we were able to work in a virtual environment and stood things up very quickly, and have continued that collaboration and virtual engagement. So seamless. Obviously, there's going to be bumps along the road and learnings as you move forward, but just continuity through the organization that really speaks to the resiliency of our organization and the resiliency of Canadians.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and we're hearing from Penny Wise, president of 3M Canada. How many employees roughly do you have in Canada?
About 1,850 employees across Canada.
You traveled a lot, so you had friends or people you knew all over the world. So it must have been quite emotional at times.
It has been. There have been people that I have not seen in 18 months. When it was announced I was becoming the managing director of Canada and coming back to Canada, again, when I was leaving St. Paul, I remember saying to many of my friends, I'll see you in a couple of months when I'm back for a visit. And it's been 18 months. And so there's been some really great connections, not just in the United States, but around the world, people that I've connected with, met with, called on customers with, worked on projects that there's been no opportunity to connect other than virtual. But I will say that one of the strengths of 3M, one of our cultural pillars, one of our cultural, foundations is this idea of collaboration and connectivity. And we've all worked really hard to maintain that collaboration and that connectivity. A lot of virtual calls early in the morning and late at night to make sure we stay connected around the world and that we continue to keep that family apprised of what's going on and that we're keeping everyone engaged.
Are you going to the office now a few days a week, or how's that evolved recently?
So I've been going to the office 2 to 3 days a week. I'm of a generation where I love going to the office. That's all I really know. But for me as a leader, I think it's my job to make sure that I set the tone and tempo of what I want everyone else to be able to do. As we come out of the pandemic and we're thinking about what the future of work looks like, we're really thinking about a flexible environment. People, we've realized that we can work from home, but we do need to come together. There will be moments that matter for our company, for any company, where you have to come together, where you have to collaborate, where you want to get together, where you want to remember that you like other people and working with other people, where you want to have those serendipitous moments of connection in the hallway. I have this great example. We had a flu clinic last fall, and we had two people come to the flu clinic out in the parking lot who were maintaining proper social distancing, but were talking about projects they were working on in two different business groups. And they realized they were working on very similar things and they should work together. So how do we create those serendipitous connective moments again? And so that's part of our flexibility, creating moments that matter, building the future of work. And it's my job to set the tone. So I can't come into work 5 days a week. I'm going to come in 2 to 3 days a week so that everybody knows that it's okay to work their schedule, to work their what their flexibility requirements are, and create the connections that they need.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm speaking with Penny Wise, president of 3M Canada. So when we think of the future of work at 3M, and we're not entirely sure yet, because it's still unfolding, in a year from now, hopefully it's all gone, it's all over. More people will be working a couple days a week at home. Is that kind of where you think you're going?
We're working on providing people flexibility. We call it flexibility, not just flexibility. It's interesting. We started at 3M. We introduced flexibility a number of years ago. And at that time, flexibility was, if you wanted to be able to work from home, it was a negotiation with your boss and a talk about how you might make that work. Today, flexibility is take your plan to your supervisor and figure out how to make that work. So we really are focused on how do we make sure we are providing employees with the best experience, the best schedule, the best flexibility for them to do their jobs in the most effective way. There are going to be people who don't need to come into the office at all, who feel like they can do their job completely from remote, and we will respect that. There are people who are going to want to come into the office multiple days a week because that's what they're comfortable with, or there's a group that they need to see, or they need a certain amount of engagement. And there are people who are going to evolve what their work balance starts to look like, home and office. I think I joked a little bit about it. I think part of our job is to remind people that we like to see each other in the hall, that we like to have a conversation. And even though we're not in the same business group, or we might not be focused on the same projects, sometimes that human interaction is just really important. So our driving principle is flexibility and helping people make the right decision for them, for their family, for their situation. And and getting people to feel comfortable again. I mean, we've all been at home for 18 months. I've been coming back to the office for a while. So like, I know how safe it is in the office. I know the protocols that are in place, but there are a lot of people who don't. So how do we help people feel comfortable again? And how do we give them the supports to do that?
A lot of CEOs told me that early in the pandemic, they just worked all the time. And they had often their spouse would sit down and go, honey, calm down. You know, and it was in a loving, caring way. Did you find yourself kind of working too much at the beginning because it was just all the time?
I think I call it almost a roller coaster ride. There have been times where the peak is very high and you're doing a lot of work and working crazy hours, and then the roller coaster kind of comes down and you take the lull. And the important thing to do is when you get to the quieter part, that you step back and take time for yourself and you don't have that overwhelming moment of, I need to be busy, I need to be busy. You know, as we've moved through different parts of the pandemic, I have been super busy and other times when less busy. I think that I have always tried to have a good focus on taking time for myself every day, whether it's through taking a walk, or I try not to work after too late at night because then I can't sleep because I need downtime from screen. I try really hard to get 7.5 hours of sleep a night, and I wear that as a badge of honor. I do not consider getting 4 hours of sleep a night a badge of honor. I try to eat well. So I think that when you have discipline around how you take care of yourself, physical, mental, emotional, then I think that you can manage the heavy times and be properly focused on the quieter times.
We're speaking with Penny Wise, president of 3M Canada. Up next, we'll be talking about innovation at 3M, one of the things it's world famous for. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Penny Wise, president of 3M Canada. Penny, one of the things 3M is famous for is innovation. Talk to us about innovation and how you encourage it at a big organization like 3M.
At 3M, we are a science company. Science is at the heart of everything we do. I think our current CEO talks about, you know, R&D and science is like the white hot core of the company. But what's really energizing about innovation at 3M is it's not just the PhDs or the scientists who are driving innovation, but it could be our manufacturing teams finding innovative ways to make these creative products, or our business leaders or our marketers who are connecting with our customers and understanding markets and what our customers need. And I think like that heart of innovation comes down to customers. We have this customer-inspired innovation. And that's really working closely with our customers to understand what are their problems, what are their needs, and how do we help find solutions to solve those problems. I think I talked a little bit earlier about how we are driven problem solvers. It's one of the core tenets of our culture. We want to make the world a better place. We want to find answers. And this customer-inspired innovation and engaging with customers is part of it. The other way we think about innovation is just building a really broad understanding of the future of markets worldwide and finding unmet needs and how to drive change that improves lives. So we take a lot of different approaches to innovation. My favorite example of how you broach innovation across multiple ways and that customer-inspired innovation is from one of our original sales reps from the Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing Company. Dick Drew was a sandpaper salesman, because that's what 3M started selling originally when it first started up. And he was selling sandpaper to automotive body shops. And one day he went into an automotive body shop and they said, I don't want to buy any sandpaper today. And Dick was like, well, just let me hang out in the shop and let me look and see what's going on in the shop. And they were like, you know, knock yourself out, go crazy. So at that time, two-tone paint jobs were becoming very de rigueur in the automotive world. And he was watching these men in the auto body shop try to apply paper and mastic to create these two-tone paint jobs. But when they'd pull off the butcher paper and the mastic, it would actually tear the paint or ruin the paint finish. And Dick sat there and thought, oh, I have an idea. We make sandpaper and it's paper that's coated and then rocks are kind of stuck to it. I'm oversimplifying. what if we took the abrasives off and we just sold the coated paper? And Dick Drew was the inventor, the original inventor of masking tape. So it was by that deep like focus on customers, and customers didn't even know they needed masking tape. They didn't know that was the problem. And it's hard to imagine a world where masking tape or scotch tape doesn't exist, but that was the impetus for it. So so that's our history of that innovations. But, you know, and I use the pandemic as another example where innovation took on new meaning. I talked a little bit before, we had to pivot internally to keep our employees safe, but we also had to pivot operations to support Canadians during the pandemic. And we took on our expansion of our facility in Brockville, Ontario, to domestically manufacture N95 masks, respirators. And that was made possible through a partnership with the federal government and the provincial government of Ontario. And we had a goal of supporting efforts to increase the supply of N95 respirators to Canadians as the waves of pandemic continued, and also for us to be ready for future events and support Canadian self-sufficiency. So I think innovation takes on many, many forms.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Penny Wise, president of 3M Canada. So if you were talking to a bunch of CEOs across Canada, what would you say the three things they must do to be more innovative?
I think that, you know, every company around Canada focus on resiliency, right? Like as we come out of the pandemic and we're thinking about what we're going to look like moving forward, I think the first thing is to leverage the best of your company's culture. At 3M, that's driving invention, whether it's through change or, you know, we talked about culture and innovation and how it's at the heart of what we do. But, you know, so many companies across this country, small, medium, large enterprises, there's innovation in different ways. So what is going on inside your company's culture that you can leverage as part of your story of innovation and change? The second area is about widening perspectives. It's hard to believe we've been in the pandemic for the last 18 months and all the days have been a blur. You know, you've talked about teaching from an empty classroom. But I think it's really important as a leader to pop your head up every so often and take a look around at what's going on inside your organization, outside your organization. Are there new alliances or partnerships that we could pursue? Are there new ways of doing things that you've discovered during the pandemic that could be adapted or piloted or scaled up? I think as the leader of the organization, you know your people best, you know the capabilities, and your staff can really help you get to that and widen that perspective for you. And then I think the third and most important piece in driving innovation, invention, is about deepening your focus with customers. Listen to your stakeholders. A lot of things have changed in the last 18 months. What your customers were saying 18 months ago before the pandemic hit and what they're saying today could be very different, or it could be the same, but there could be some really strong nuances inside that you need to listen to. But customers are the ones who help us be innovative. Customers are the ones who help us drive ideas. Customers are the ones who are going to help shape what the future looks like.
I understand 3M Canada recently launched a research study on the state of science. What were the key findings and how is 3M addressing as it relates to STEM equity?
The State of Science Index, or SOCI as we affectionately like to call it, has been going on for the last 4 years on a global basis. And every year we talk with general population people to understand what are their attitudes towards science. And every year we've continued to see an increase in overall trust towards science. And obviously during the pandemic, certainly heightened that sentiment. In Canada, what we learned is, and we hear consistently, is that there are barriers to accessing STEM education and that what we need to do to address those, that's relatively undefined and it's a real issue in Canada. So 68% of Canadians have the same access to STEM education and almost 90% of Canadians say we need to do something about it. Obviously, as a science company, we've talked about science being at the heart of 3M and what we do. We care about this issue deeply and we can help address the issue by listening to experts and harnessing their experiences. Recently, we had a STEM Talk workshop where we brought together experts from across Canada, and they are leading STEM advocates, including from Indigenous and LGBTQ plus communities, to really talk about how Canada can make STEM education accessible for all. And it was a really humbling and eye-opening experience to listen and hear what the experts had to say. We talked a lot about the need to change the way STEM is taught and accessed in Canada, that we need to think about what an education system looks like that is very representative of diverse worldviews, and what does teaching material and curriculum need to look like? How do you uncover hidden curriculums so that lectures and labs are physically accessible, or that we're supporting student mental health? That we need to move from role models to champions. And this was a real aha moment for me, that seeing somebody like yourself out in the world is important, but having somebody who can help lift you up, who can help find you the opportunities, who can put you in front of the right people is absolutely critical for your success. And when I heard people talk about that, I reflected back on my career. There have been pivotal moments in my career where a leader has believed in me and put me on a slate for a different job, or positioned me for something that I never would have thought about for myself, but they believed in me and gave me the opportunity. And that's what we need to do. And then the third area that we all need to work on is this idea of shared responsibility to match our words and actions. Business, politics, we talk a lot about ideas of inclusion, but collectively we need to work together to find those solutions so that we match what we're saying, and then there's action to go with what we're saying. So this STEM talk was, you know, just the first step on what we need to do. There's so many things that we want to do. In terms of what we're doing at 3M, we're setting up an advocacy fund so we can provide financial support to organizations and people who are working on removing those hidden barriers. Looking at creating a series of workshops with peer companies and subject matter experts so that we can unite efforts and really be focused for success. We want to set up an advisory committee to help guide investments in our future programs. And then there's a lot of data that we don't have. And so informing some of those decisions, how do we dig deeper into Canadian data so we can help identify more of the gaps and opportunities for STEM equity?
You're listening to the CEO Series, and we're hearing from Penny Wise, president of 3M Canada. So it's interesting because you can be a champion regardless of gender and race and so on, and help people that have been more marginalized. Is that a fair way of thinking about it?
I absolutely believe that. I think my job as a leader is to make sure that people have access to opportunities, that I am lifting up the future leaders of our organization, that I am working to create high-performing teams. From a diversity, equity, and inclusion point of view, I fundamentally believe that we as companies will only be successful when when people who come and work in our organization feel comfortable bringing their whole selves to work, they feel included. When we reflect society, when we reflect what the Canadian population looks like, when we have diverse views and ideas and opinions, that is when we are at our best, and that's when we're most successful. So absolutely is my job to be a champion for great minds to be successful.
We're speaking with Penny Wise, president of 3M Canada. Up next, we'll talk about whether she's an introvert or extrovert. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
They made it, and they're telling you how. You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Penny Wise, president of 3M Canada. Part of what you're talking about is being an authentic person at work. So in your mind, what is an authentic leader, and how do you do that?
So I think authentic leaders today are ones that are really, I'm struggling because I already gave you my answer to authentic leadership, but I do think authentic leadership is really about being empathetic to the organization, understanding what needs to be done, listening, supporting the organization, being genuine, being caring. And I think that empathetic leadership has been so required through the pandemic. People have been incredibly scared, and it has been an incredibly difficult situation. So many unknowns, so many difficult things. And so people have needed to be confident. People have needed to hear the truth. People have needed to build trust. People have needed to know that everything maybe isn't going to be okay, but that you have been honest about the situation, and that you are listening, and you are working to support people, and that you are working to support their mental and physical health and the well-being of the organization. And so I think that's been authentic leadership through the pandemic, and successful leadership through the pandemic. and a little bit different maybe than what it looked like 20, 30 years ago.
Penny, so are you more of an introvert or an extrovert?
I am definitely an introvert, but I think about the introvert versus extrovert discussion a little bit differently. I worked for a gentleman a few years ago who helped frame it up really well for me. Introversion doesn't mean that I don't like talking to people or doing interviews or being in front of an audience. It means that when I need to recharge and when I need to re-energize myself, I need quiet time and the opportunity to think. An extrovert like my former boss was, he liked being in big crowds and high energy. And so that really helped me frame it up. But the introversion that I have helps me be a really good listener and reflector and kind of the ability to join together lots of different opinions and ideas and figure out what a solution needs to be. I think it's really important as a leader to take the time to hear others, to take in what's being said. Even if you don't agree with the opinion that's being provided to you, there's a nugget in there that you need to listen to and think about because it's going to inform a better outcome. And I think we need to offer people ways to help. I think we enable teams by showing them that their ideas matter.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and we're hearing from Penny Wise, president of 3M Canada. So as a president with 1,800 people working for you, the good part of being an introvert is the listening, is taking the time to connect the dots, to add their wisdom to what you already are thinking. Is there times you got to act a bit more extrovert and work the room and give an inspiring speech? Is that also something you have to do, Penny?
I have no issue standing up and giving an inspiring speech. I have no issue in having a difficult conversation with someone. I feel like introversion and extroversion is a very black and white definition, and I really feel like there are shades of gray. I have no issue with doing those. I have no concerns. I really enjoy the opportunity to work the room and talk to people and understand and listen and talk. Now, when that's all done and I go back to my room, I'm really tired and I need to rest and I don't want to talk to anybody else. But for me, it feels like it's a black and white discussion when there are lots of shades of gray. I think there are plenty of extroverts I know who don't like to talk in front of a large crowd, but they like to work the room. So where are your comfort areas and how do you delve into each side of the introvert extrovert discussion?
And you've learned some of these skills over time, obviously.
Absolutely. And preparation is always important. You can give any speech, you can talk to anyone as long as you've prepared. When you wing it, that becomes a little more challenging.
As an extrovert, I'm more apt to wing it, which does get me into trouble. I agree. But it's something where you can just say, Carl, can you say something about something? And, you know, it'll be entertaining and funny and somewhat relevant. And, you know, it gets the people going. But when the kids are small, big demanding job, like you'd never escape. Like, how did you get that quiet time when the kids were small? I mean, you could give them to your husband and that's helpful, but how do you escape during those days?
My husband has been my greatest partner in all of this and that we have worked very hard together to make sure that we were always there for our kids and support them in everything that they do. And kind of a funny story, when my children were in elementary school, at the end of each year, they used to have a school tea to thank the parents for their volunteering during the year. And my husband was invited more frequently than I was. So I think we've had a great partnership in bringing this forward. But we have always delighted in doing things with our kids. We always took them on vacation. We always attended the events. Went to, my daughter was a gymnast, so I helped at the gym and we went to competitions together. And so we really took an approach that our kids were part of our family and did things with us and supported them through everything that they did. Personally, I started doing Pilates maybe about 20 years ago, and I would do that 3 or 4 times a week. I always made time for myself. We worked really hard to make sure we eat well so that we're taking care of ourselves. We used to go for a run. We used to all go for a run as a family. The kids would ride their bikes. My husband and I would run. So we've always found ways to make those pieces work. And I think the kids have learned some really great work ethic in being so close and part of our family.
What book are you reading right now, Penny? You say you like books earlier, so I'm going to call you out on it. What book are you reading right now?
So right now, Jennifer Flanagan, who is the lead at Actua, provided me with a reading list to learn more about Indigenous culture and the Indigenous story in Canada. So right now I'm reading a book called Braiding Sweetgrass. And And it's a book on indigenous wisdom, scientific knowledge, and the teaching of plants. And so as a science company, and obviously what we just talked about in the STEM Talk session and SOCI, we have a lot to learn about how to make science and science curriculum more reflective of the world and other cultures. And I'm only partway through it, but I'm really humbled to learn. And as a Canadian, it is important to understand what we did not learn in school. And this is really helping me learn what I did not learn.
So the thought is that the indigenous cultures have lived in our country for thousands of years and know things about nature that we don't as non-indigenous. And the labs are beginning to think about that is probably the way to put it.
I think of that outside of 3M. I think in general, I think that there's just this thinking of, like you said, thousands of years of culture, of healing, of a connection to the earth, of understanding what plants do, of how the earth can support us. And I think all of that is really important as we move forward, not only in terms of innovation and what we do, but also in terms of our journey towards sustainability, net zero, water, waste, all of these pieces, that understanding and connectivity that indigenous cultures have with the earth, I think is really inspiring. And, you know, even in the beginning of the book in Braiding Sweetgrass, where they tell the story of the formation of the earth from indigenous culture and compare and contrast that to the Anglo or, you know, our way of looking at it. And, you know, it's a very symbiotic relationship of how we work together, how we sacrifice and work together to build better versus the Anglo way where Adam and Eve were kicked out of paradise and it was a punishment. And so it's just, for me, it's a really important learning experience to understand that difference and that view and that perspective. And I think that can inform science and how we move forward in really important ways.
This is the CO Series. Penny, thank you for joining us today. We'd also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna, as always. Thank you for tuning into the CO Series. À la prochaine.